It's fantastic on Static on 2SER to be saying Happy New Year-ish to Robbie from E4. How you holding up?
Yeah, I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing all right, and it's nice to talk to you. That second E4 album snuck out at the very end of 2021, and dropping Autumnal Eve then means that you actually released two albums in the space of about 18 months. So you've done pretty well, Romy.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, I don't do much else anyway, so.
Did you also get a bit of a roll-on, though, after doing the first record? I know that can be quite a hurdle for a lot of people. Did that then sort of spur you on and think, I can do this and I can see different ways forward and all that sort of stuff? Was it that a good starting point to have got that first E4 album under your belt?
Yeah, I reckon that's definitely what happened. I realised, I guess I'd never made a full-length album before, and I feel like Autumnal Eve is just a better album technically. I just had more confidence, I guess.
That's what's going to spur you on forever now, you know? The next album's always going to be the best one.
Yeah, for sure. I still think that. I just finished making something and I think it's a lot better than Autumnal Eve. But I feel like that's a bit of a cop-out.
Well, wait. I can wait for that to come out. You know, I'm happy with Autumnal Eve for now. And between both records, you did also get the chance to stage your Invisible Stone event at Newcastle's new annual festival this time last year, which was amazing in itself to even think that there was a point where you could do a show. But that must have been an incredible thing to do as well, Romy. You teamed up with this choreographer, Skip Wilcox, and the creative director, Love David. So that must have been a very different way of working.
Yeah, it was. It was cool, though. It was great. The creative director, Love David, he's like been my best friend since we were like 14 or 15. We've made like music together, and he's made heaps of the music videos for E4E, and it was sick to do something on such a large scale, but have it still be our sort of thing, you know, like the homemade feeling or whatever.
And for Invisible Stone, also working on this multidisciplinary experience, you know, did it make your music a bigger, more out-of-body experience to see people doing movement to it?
Yeah, I guess for me, it made me more excited to do things that I wouldn't normally do, like knowing that there would be a visual element to back it up or something. And just sort of making music thinking that people are going to be dancing to this, contemporary dancing to it, or like expressing themselves.
Unlike crowds in pubs who watch you who might do a little shuffle every now and then.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen people in pubs dance my music.
Sydney staging, of course, got delayed a couple of times, and hopefully at some point that'll come to fruition here. But even aside from that, doing Autumnal Eve, you kind of used a bigger canvas as well. Romy, you sort of made it more of a band album?
Yeah, I guess I just used live drums and more guitars and things like that. And more live recordings, I guess. Like, I play drums on a few songs, and Dougie, my friend who plays drums in the band, when we play live, played drums on a few songs. And Noah, the guitarist, played bass on a few songs. Other than that, it was just me. I just took 2 weeks off work and just worked at it every day sort of thing, and recorded the bulk of it that way, and then mixed it for a few months by myself afterwards.
Like with that stage production, is it exciting to hear differently realised versions of your songs once you got all those live instruments on E4 songs? Did you kind of think, wow, this can sound huge?
Yeah, I guess that's just what the sort of thing I wanted to make, like a roomier sounding, more real sounding. Not that Coldstream Road doesn't sound real, but it's a lot more electronic, I think. I just wanted to make something that was less electronic sequences and more real drums and stuff. I still like that sort of stuff. Like, Invisible Stone has that sort of stuff, like electronic stuff in it, and I still make electronic music all the time.
And Romy, having live players on the record, you still manage to incorporate plenty of time changes and breakdowns and lots of twists and turns into the songs on Autumnal Eve. You know, you really relish in the non-linear a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's just the songs I like writing, and it's me playing the instruments most of the time, so I know how it's meant to go. I know when a bar has 3 beats instead of 4 beats and stuff like that. Yeah, I just like music like that. Like, I think one example would be like an incredible string band. Their songs go in really non-linear ways that I think's really, it doesn't sound like they're being non-linear for the sake of it, if that makes sense. They're doing it.
Maybe there's a real Baroque folk future for E4 down the track as well.
Yeah, I think, well, I don't know. I just like the idea of not being chained to structure. And it happens naturally anyway, once you get into the sort of mental state of thinking you don't have to repeat certain sections or whatever, and you can go wherever you want. I feel like Built to Spill as well do that a lot. Maybe people don't think of Built to Spill as the most far out band, but...
Well, some of their peak period songs are like mini rock operas.
Yeah, for sure. That Perfect From Now On stuff. Those songs go in really weird places. They're like tiny little songs stitched up together. Which I feel like a few songs in Autumnal Eve are like that.
Well, Bushfire Story has that great line in it. Maybe beginnings and ends and middles aren't that necessary toward making a point. You know, that could almost be a description of your music.
Wow. That's a parallel. It's a big parallel.
And Romy, do you feel you have less to hide on this album, which is reflected in those production choices too? The delay on the vocals on a song like Burning is gentle rather than used as a disguise. I feel like there's more of you that you can hear in these songs.
Yeah, I think my brother said that. I think it's a process of getting older and making more and more music and wanting it to be realer or something, or more me. And I feel like that was definitely a massive part of it, to just be like, I'm actually going to not try and cover up heaps of stuff.
That might have been another one of those hurdles you got out of the way with the first record. I know who I am now. I can make a more personal record.
Yeah, I guess so. Albums, the process of making albums is a very exploratory process. I feel like I'm learning while I'm doing it. So I feel like I definitely get a lot out of it, and it does feed into the next one.
Romy, it looks like you've also been thinking about this a lot too. The sample, the vocal sample on Burning, it comes from Albie Falzon, who's this director of the surf film Morning of the Earth, for people who don't know. His words that you've used could almost be about creating art and putting it out into the universe. I mean, did that strike a chord with you, that thing that he says, every thought, every action that you make and do contributes to the collective?
Yeah, it definitely struck a chord in me. I don't think I was thinking about how it relates to making music that much, but I feel like the first time I heard it, it was like a thing that I feel like a lot of people intuitively know, but to say it so succinctly is quite profound. That was in response to a question about, they asked him, the podcast, the interviewers said, a lot of our friends are activists, but we just surf all day and we don't do much activism. Is there something wrong with that? And he was like, well, no, yeah, as he says in the thing, doing less is a good thing. And I really do think doing less is a good thing. I think that I feel like sometimes I look at people and they're just rushing around, not really feeling anything, you know. Maybe that's why I put it in there.
Yeah, well, that guy, Albie Falzon, has probably learned a lot over the course of his career as well. It's nice to get some advice from someone like that.
Yeah, I think he met the Dalai Lama. Like, he's been on a spiritual journey, and I think he just lives on a farm by himself now and surfs every day.
Romy, I know that it also would have pleased your Spunk label boss, Aaron Noen, that you were sampling some legendary surfer for your record. That would have made him very happy.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that actually, but when he calls me up, it's 80% about the surf, how the surf is in 20% about whatever we need to talk about.
Well, look, I won't ask you for a wave report right now. We might have a listen to a song off Autumnal Eve instead. We'll play Lightning Bolt.
Sure.
One day we'll see you again, but for now, you know, keep making the records while there's time. Romy, it was great to talk to you on Static.
No, thanks for talking to me.
This is Lightning Bolt from E4 Now. Thanks.